You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Laura Molitier. That's such a fun word to say. She is from Everyday Graces Homeschool. She's a blogger, she's a homeschool mom, and most importantly, she loves Jesus, and she really is very intentional about pointing the hearts of her boys to Christ. We were talking before the podcast about just the difference between your family and mine. I have two girls and you have two boys. And you said you don't have anybody to put bows on. And so when, you know, you come over and put a bow on Lacey, she'd probably let you do that. She likes bows. But yeah, I love that you're a mom of boys. I think it would be so much fun to have a boy. I don't know anything about having boys because I have five nieces, two daughters, and a sister.
Oh, but. Yes. I was always such a girly girl. And when they told us that we were having a boy, I was terrified. And now I really don't know what I would do if we had girls.
Yeah. Oh,
I learned how to pin bugs.
Oh, wow.
Because I have boys.
Yeah.
And you know, like how to do butterfly band-aids because I have boys.
Right. Wow. We've had a couple broken bones in our family already. And I have girls, but I have one very active girl who loves to keep her body moving all the time. So, and it shows. She had a bruise yesterday and I was like, where did you get this? She's like, well, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, we are talking about making your homeschool a haven, making your home a haven. And I'm loving this discussion because we're just giving practical ways of how to make your home a welcoming place, not just for others. And that's important because we want our home to be a place of hospitality. And the Bible really talks a lot about hospitality, has a lot to say on that topic. But we also want to be hospitable to our own family. We want our husband to be able to come home from work and feel like his home is his haven, like he can come home and relax and not feel stressed out by chaos all around him. And one of the things I've learned is to minimize the things that you have in your home. And I think we were talking about the fly lady earlier, and I'm pretty sure this was from her. Might be from someone else on organization. I can't remember, but they talked about just little by little, like take 15 minutes a day and just clean out something, a closet, a drawer, something, and have a box that you'll take, you know, to a thrift store and just get rid of the things that you don't need, because we all have tons of stuff in our home that we don't need. And those little things clutter up our lives and therefore cause stress in our lives and in our home. And as homeschool moms, we want to have peace. We want to have joy. We want to feel like we can sit down and educate our kids without a million things surrounding us that are not really necessary. And it's hard to do. Like anything else, it has to be intentional. But we can do it. We can do it. And sometimes, you know what? Do it with friends. You know, have a friend come over and maybe she can help you clean out a closet and you can go to her house and help her clean out a closet. There's so many different ways to do it. But and we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm going to actually read a little portion of Proverbs 31, 27 through 28. It says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And that's who God has called us to be. And we're going to mess it up every single day. And we're not going to be perfect at it. And we're going to feel like we're always failing in some aspect, but it really is doable to make our home a haven. And so one of the things that I want to talk about, which I know you talk about in this workshop, Laura, is presence is a present. And you talk about being present with our family and with our children, and how that is a part of making our home a haven. So talk about that a little bit.
So, That is one of the parts I think that really steps on our toes, mm-hmm. because we're with them all the time and we're teaching them all the time and we're cooking for them all the time. But a lot of times we're doing that and our head is somewhere else.
Right.
And if our head is somewhere else, then they will pick up that our heart is somewhere else.
Mm.
And so we have to be really careful. You know, we've all heard people say, you know, don't ignore your children when they're little and they come to you with something that's big to them, but really little, because right. if you ignore that when they're older, they're not going to come to you anymore.
Right.
And it's true. It's an adage because it's true. And so we have this capacity. Mothers were made sort of like the TARDIS. We're bigger on the inside. We have this capaciousness that allows us to have all these emotions and all these extra hugs and love and sort of intuitiveness, which I think is absolutely a gift from the Holy Spirit. So when our children are acting out, instead of responding with anger or sharpness or attitudes or things like that, we need to pause and prayerfully ask for direction and how to respond. Because a lot of times when our children are acting that way, there's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
They may just need extra time with us. They may need a hug. They may be feeling out of sorts for some reason that we don't know or we haven't picked up on. And especially in the times that we are living in, children pick up on so much in the environment that we don't think they understand.
Right.
And so we really have the ability to pour into them in a way that will cause the relationship between us to blossom. And then when they are older, they won't just be our children. They will be our friends.
Right.
And that's ultimately the goal. We want thinkers that we can discuss with.
Right.
And we want children that will appreciate beauty so that when they become older, they become writers or artists and they go out and they appreciate the wonders of creation that God has made. And we do all that by pouring into the relationship from the very beginning.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really easy to get caught up in technology. All of us have the phones. I actually, had a woman in our Facebook group that shared a picture that was really pixelated. And she was like, this mama still rocks a flip phone. Like,
nice.
You are my hero. Where do I get one?
Yeah.
How do I sign up for that? And so, you know, we have the technology, we have the news cycles that are 24/7, you know, we have the angst that just comes from living in such a broken and fallen world mm-hmm. where the information highway is, you know, super speedy now. It's like the Autobahn. Whereas, you know, even 30 years ago when I was growing up, it wasn't like that.
Right.
So when my mom came home from work, she was home.
Right.
And so even if there were things that she wanted to work on or she had her mind on something else, it was very easy to pull her into our world where we needed her to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little bit of a mom, I want to talk to you about something or that. But what we have now is we have this overload and we have all these ideals. There are good ideals and there are Pinterest ideals.
Right.
And they're not the same.
No, they're not.
And so we have these dreams of these Pinterest houses.
Right.
And I have been in some that looked like that. Ours does not. If you see our social media pictures, they're all from like waist level up.
Nice.
Because there's always Legos all over the floor or
as
puzzles or crayons. And, you know, like that's it. We live here.
Right. Right.
So, but people compare. And I think part of that is that we're not spending enough time in scripture
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the Lord gives to each of us according to our abilities. You know, if we can handle more, we get more. And that's not to talk about material things, that's mm-hmm. responsibilities.
Right.
So, you know, if we have the house, the kids, the homeschool, and we do a good job stewarding that, he might add a job from home with that, or even a job outside the home. But we're still expected to maintain. And I think we have gotten to the point where we let so many other things come on top of where we're supposed to be. So our children pick up on that. They know as soon as our mind is somewhere else, they know we're not paying attention to them. Mom, will you come play a game with me? Mom, will you snuggle me and we can watch this movie together? Mom, I was reading this in this book and I really don't quite understand. If we give them too many wait a minutes, mm-hmm. or I can't do that right now, or mommy's busy, or I've even homemaking things, I've got to get this bathroom clean. Sometimes the bathroom needs to wait.
Right.
And sometimes your children really just need you to be right there. Right. And we are a distracted generation. Mm-hmm. And it does. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes time in the Word to help us focus back in on what's really important, because we have all these people telling us that we're the important part.
Right.
And I've been doing a book club of Yoo-Hoo by Rachel Jankovic. Have you read that one yet?
I have not. I have not even heard of it.
Oh, it's fantastic. But it's all about the philosophies and psychologies that affect worldly culture and how they're kind of bleeding into Christianity, specifically affecting Christian women. Things like existentialism or humanism or relativism, and things that we hear and we're like, oh, that just doesn't sound quite right, but I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And so it's all this stuff that we're constantly bombarded with, and we don't even think about it affecting us, but we hear all of the me-centric things. I need more time. I need a weekend away. We see the memes. Mommy needs wine. The meme about the homeschool supplies on the liquor store marquee. Did you see that one?
No, I haven't.
It was going around like wildfire on Facebook.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You need your Bible.
Right. That's right.
Just, you know, spend your time with the Lord and everything else will work out. Even if that was the only book that you had in your homeschool repertoire, that would be enough. So it's a distracted culture, and our children know it. And if we want them to be available to us, and if we want them to be available to the Lord, mm-hmm. and for the Holy Spirit to be able to work in them, we have to model that first.
Yeah.
We have to have time to be still.
Right.
And it's not
present.
A still world.
Yeah.
We have to be present. Being still, the way that it is in the Bible when it says, you know, be still and know that I am God, mm-hmm. it is be still in a manner that is not, you know, like you're not laying flat on the floor trying to go to sleep.
Right.
You are still in anticipation. It's like when you're outside and you're hearing the wind and watching the tree leaves rustle and you see the clouds rolling in and you get those little prickles on your skin because you know somewhere lightning's about to strike.
Right.
You can just feel it. It's the same kind of being still. We are waiting with glorious anticipation for the Holy Spirit to work through us and to work into our children.
Yeah.
And if we're not available for that, how many opportunities are we losing for the Holy Spirit to work in them?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. And I love that you talk about being present for the sake of becoming friends with our kids, because it's the goal of parenting is not so that we can become best friends with our kids, especially in their childhood years. But what happens is when we are able to be present with them and build a relationship with them as they grow up and as they become adults, because they're only children for the first, 18 years of their life. But for the rest of their life, they're going to be adults right along with you. And if you can build that relationship with your kids, then they learn to come to you for things, to talk about things. I mean, you think about a friendship that you have, with one of your close friends. You go to your friend and you talk to them about your joys and your struggles and your sorrows and all of the things that are going on in your life. And you want your kids to be able to come to you and talk about those things. Because again, we talked about the Titus II woman. Well, I am that Titus II woman in my girls' lives. Now they have other women in their lives as well, but God has placed me in that role for them. And I want to always be that for them. I want them to always come to me and, at the age of 45, I want them to come to me and say, "Hey mom, what do you think about this? You know, what would you do in this situation? Or let me share something exciting." And so I want to cultivate that relationship and friendship with them now with authority. You know, I'm still mom. I don't want to be their friend in the sense that I just will do whatever they want me to do because I want them to like me. There's a difference between wanting them to like me and being and building that relationship with them. So I think that is so very important. Let's take another quick break and we'll be back in a minute.
Did you miss the 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo? If so, you can now have full access to the entire expo for just $10. you'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended, filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. The one thing that stood out to me about each session is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful." Register today for lifetime access to the entire conference for only $10 at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
We are back with Laura Molitier, and in this last part, I want to talk about hospitality. And we briefly talked about making our home, kind of cultivating that ideal home and making our home a haven for our family. But I want to talk about it in regards to hospitality and how. What are some simple ways that we can practice hospitality and teach our children to be hospitable?
So one of the best ways to teach your children about hospitality is tea time. Because they'll do snacks. You can start them when they're teeny tiny little ones with like cookies and tea, but you can start teaching them manners. And manners is actually a huge part of hospitality, whether it's within your family unit or if you're having guests over or if you are serving out in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of respecting other people. And, you know, we are all created in the image of God, and we are all, you know, we deserve each other's respect simply because we are made in His image. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we worked with like tea time, dinner time, meal time, anything like that. Teach your children as soon as they're, you know, they're big enough. Your 2-year-old can carry a box or a little bowl or basket of rolls. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to carry anything out of the oven. But let them help you set the table. Let them help you clean if you have guests coming and you're doing one of like the big cleaning jobs. Let them see that one of the ways that you care for other people is by keeping things clean. And eventually they'll realize one of the ways you care for them is by keeping things clean. It's kind of a process of connection. Right. Teach them to welcome people with a smile, whether they're coming into your home or whether you're out in public. You know, when somebody greets you, smile at them and say hello back. I've always been kind of a stickler for my children to respond. And it was more of an issue with my younger one than my older one. And there are shy children. There absolutely are. But you still need to smile and at least wave hello. So it's a matter of welcoming people. And that's hospitality is actually defined as the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Mm. So when we smile at a stranger that says hi, or if we just smile and say hello because, you know, maybe somebody just looks like they need a friendly hello, we are showing hospitality. And I think we've become so busy that hospitality's almost been brushed over to the side.
Right.
And, you know, there's little things that we can do just for our family. You know, if you want to be hospitable towards your husband, you know, making sure that, you know, the bed's made up, or if he forgot because he got home late from work and left his clothes on the floor, put him in the hamper for him instead of giving him a hard time.
Right.
Little things like that. Fixing him a cup of, you know, chamomile tea when he comes home from work if he's coming in late. Taking care of your children is very similar. When we want to teach them hospitality and how to be hospitable, we have to be hospitable to them. So, you know, if they're having a rough day, instead of, you know, giving them a lecture or, you know, giving them chores to do to make up for their bad attitude, set out some tea or some hot chocolate and some cookies and have them sit down with you and just talk. You know, I see that you're struggling today. How can I help you? What support do you need from me?
Sure. How can I pray with you?
How can I pray with you? Yeah. How can we address this in a better way? And sometimes they just need that one-on-one time, but that's hospitality. And we don't think of it that way.
I like that you talk about even being hospitable to strangers and people in public, because how often, and this always bothered me, you know, when my kids were young, is that people would say, oh, they don't talk to strangers. Well, says who? I mean, since when do we as adults not respond to strangers? When someone smiles at you in the store, you smile and you say hello, you know, at least smile back out of courtesy, but it's almost like parents give their kids the excuse to shy away. I recently was around a family and one of their children was plenty old enough, and I'm talking like way old enough, to be friendly. And I said hi to this child, and this child hid behind their mom. And it was so awkward because I was like, and the mom said, oh, you know, she's shy. And I'm like, she's like 14. Like, that's, I don't quite understand what you just said. You know, it was just so very awkward. But the mom just, you know, made an excuse for it. And I just thought, that's just not acceptable, because that's not helping her to become an adult who can, talk about awkward homeschoolers and unsocialized homeschoolers. Like, don't make them that way, you know, teach them. But like you said, I mean, that's from the time that they're very young, that we can teach them to be friendly to strangers. We can teach them to be friendly to people when they come into our home, you know, open the door with a smile. When people leave our home, walk them out to their car. You know, you don't just close the door on them. You make them feel like they're special and welcome. And that also goes back to Connie Albers. I've interviewed her a few times now, and she's got 5 grown children, but she talks a lot about when her kids were teenagers, she would make, her home was like an open home to all of her kids and their friends. And so their friends would come over and she would make them, you know, a pot of spaghetti or cookies or whatever, and made them feel comfortable. And again, it's building those relationships with your kids and then with their friends as well. But how wonderful to be able to show that hospitality to others and show love to them that way.
It is, you know, it's a gift. And anytime you have the opportunity to serve somebody else, it's a gift. And we have to model that for our children. You know, if we get stressed out and frazzled every time we ask a friend to come over, that's what our children are going to learn. Right. Oh my gosh, I have to clean. I have to do this. I have to do this. The house should smell like cookies. I should light all the candles. Right. They're gonna, you know, it's like something out of a movie.
Right.
They're going to have that apprehension.
Uh-huh.
When, if it's a friend, and I can't imagine most of us inviting like random strangers into our homes. We could.
Sure.
but we're having people over that know us.
Yeah.
They're real. We're real. And so, you know, it's a matter of just welcoming them in with open arms. Nice people aren't going to take a white glove and go over your furniture.
Right. Maybe grandma will, but.
right. But, you know, most people aren't going to do that. They're not going to see if they can write their name on the top shelf.
Right.
it's a matter of just, you know, being welcoming. And now there are absolutely ways that you can take extra steps to be more hospitable in certain situations. You know, if somebody's having a hard time and you want to really pour into a friend, or you really want to pour into your child, go to the extra effort, you know, light the candles, put on the piano music, spread a feast.
Right.
But it's a matter of really just being welcoming, and you are really the one that decides whether or not it's going to be a hospitable experience.
Yeah.
So our attitude, again, is so important in everything that we do. And I think spending time in the Word is something moms are really bad to neglect. And we cannot pour out what we do not have in
us.
That's
right.
And that I think is one of the things that we struggle with the most in the current environment that we're in, is we all feel so isolated that it's just like all these wheels spinning and spinning and spinning, when what we ought to be, you know, doing is focusing on serving the ones that we do have access to right now.
Yeah.
And making our homes more available when we can have more people in again. Because I think what we've all learned over the last few months is how vitally important our brothers and sisters in Christ are to our own well-being.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. And Zoom doesn't do the trick. No matter how many people want to think so, it doesn't do the trick. We were built for relationship. We were created for relationship with one another, with our own family first. Well, actually, with God first, of course, then with our family, and then with, like you said, brothers and sisters in Christ, and even with our neighbors. You know, I mean, we've had a chance over the last few months to really get to know our neighbors so much better because we're all home. you know, 4th yeah. of July, we had a block party because there was nothing going on in town. They canceled all of the 4th of July plans. So we had this huge block party and it was so fun. We got to know neighbors that we never had met before. And now, you know, we see them taking walks and, you know, driving by and we waved. And it's just, it's a great way to build those relationships with people. So we have a few minutes left. And in these last few minutes, I want to talk about bringing beauty into your home and why do that and what's the importance of doing that?
Beauty is kind of one of the ways that our world reflects the creator. You see the beauty in nature, you see beautiful words on a page, you hear beautiful music. That is all, it's a gift. And I think when we appreciate the gifts that the Lord has given to us, that is, it's a form of worship. You mm-hmm. know, we be thankful for things that are beautiful. And so it's really, it's nice to have those in our home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to go all out and, you know, spend thousands and thousands of dollars to make your home look ideal.
Right.
But one of my favorite pictures that we have in our house is an imitation Rembrandt of The Girl at the Piano. And I got it at Goodwill for $3.
Nice.
And it's huge. It covers up one of our great big walls and it looks amazing, but it was cheap.
Right, right.
And so, you know, adding little touches like that, if yeah. you have wildflowers near your home or a flower garden outside, bringing in fresh flowers, mm-hmm. Having a few candles that you can light from time to time. I have a little one that likes to play with wax, so mine are battery operated. He's not even really that little anymore. He's just fascinated by right. hot wax, which ruins the candles.
Oh, no.
But, you know, having a pretty teacup. Mm-hmm. Sometimes beauty is very much akin to order. Mm-hmm. And when everything feels disordered, we can have something beautiful to sort of bring us back to that point where we can focus and breathe and remember what's really important. So we have a lot of beautiful books. I think everybody should have a lot of
yes,
beautiful books.
I agree.
And I don't mean like the covers. Some of the covers are pretty too, mm-hmm. but I mean the actual books.
Right.
You were talking earlier, maybe that was the last episode, but we were talking about people doing what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite stories that really talks about children kind of waking up to recognizing and observing and seeing needs and doing what needs to be done is Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince. It's a lamplighter book.
Oh, okay.
But books that have beautiful characters. For myself, I love reading Elizabeth Gouge novels. She just has an amazing prose that it takes you to the English countryside and it sits down in a beautiful house and you see the hills out from you and, you know, just beautiful words. You know, the art that you have in your home also, you know, it influences and it influences your children sure. and it influences your outlook. And, you know, we don't realize how all these little things change our perspective. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have beautiful art in your home or books or stories or your music that you listen to, I'm big on instrumental music and old timey hymns.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, you know, but whatever it is that your family finds beautiful. And while a lot of us really love to rock out to the music from the 90s and stuff, it's not super edifying most
right.
of the time. So you can throw that in for fun. But, you know, during your day-to-day search for beauty, it's really important to have some things that are a little bit more soothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whatever works, you know, for your family. But I think when we're cultivating our home into a haven, we want to make a refuge. Mm-hmm. And there is so much ugliness in the world and so much darkness. We want to have our children so full of truth right. with a capital T and beauty and goodness that when it is their time to go out into the world, they can infect all that darkness with all the light that they have inside of them.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's a big part of why we need to have beauty in our homes.
Yep, I agree completely. So Laura, you actually have a whole workshop called Making Your Home a Haven on your website. And your website is everydaygraceshomeschool.com or everydaygraceshomeschool.com?
Everydaygraceshomeschool.com.
Okay. Everydaygraceshomeschool.com. And we will again, of course, put a link to this in the show notes so you guys can check out this workshop. But Laura will even more so go into detail about how you can make your home a haven and just make your home a place of welcome to your family and to your friends, and be able to just share the love of Jesus, because we have the opportunity to do that. And our kids can help us to do that. And then we can train them to be able to do that with their own homes in the future. So Laura, thank you so much for your time today. You are such an absolute blessing. And thank you for the time that you put into just your ministry and speaking into the hearts of homeschool moms. And those moms get to go out and impact their children in the process of that. So you've got some great resources on your website. We'll put a link to that. But everydaygraceshomeschool.com. You guys definitely will want to check that out. And thanks so much for your time today. It was good talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
Yes, you as well. You guys, thank you so much for listening again. We are so grateful for you. And we would love it if you would continue to pray for our family. We are so very close to getting Schoolhouse Rock! The movie done. God is just moving in big ways right now. The rough edit is done of the movie, and we just finished recording voiceover for it, and it's coming together, and it's amazing to just see God at work in all of this. So please continue to pray for us through this process. You know, it's been such an interesting journey for our family, but God's timing is so good in light of what's going on right now. So we are working hard to get this movie into people's hands. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to help support this ministry financially, we would love that. We would love for you to pray about that. You can go to schoolhouserocked.com and make a tax-deductible donation through the website. So thank you guys for joining us today. We love you. We will see you back here again next week. And until then, have a fantastic day. Bye.